is black.
You got milk instead of milk.
Yes. It's so weird.
Well, Dan, I would suggest to you that you should go to there's a lot of things to see in downtown Scottsdale, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also a really great art scene there. There's a ton of galleries right off of Scottsdale Road, like within like a 4-block radius, all sorts of stuff. The Mexican skull art and the stuff that they do with NFL helmets in Mexican skull art is phenomenal. So whether it's
legal to harvest Mexican skulls, I'm pretty sure it's not.
I think you misunderstood.
Did Stephen Miller change the rules again?
Well, that'll do it for this transition. Gentlemen, have a wonderful day. I'm going to continue guest week. It's my man fun. Chris Swick is in the house. Anthony Heron will join me at 1 o'clock. Enjoy yourselves out in the Valley of the Sun.
Thank you, sir.
That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. You are listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Everyone loves riding the Chicago Wolves Zamboni and waving to the crowd at the Allstate Arena. To sign up for your spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox, visit ChicagoWolves.com. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Herbie, Chris Swick is in the house. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I used to run the board for Dan, and there's this guy named Larry Lipman, who was the executive producer of the show. Dan, I swear, he would come in every week, and he'd bring something for Larry and nothing for me. You'll get breakfast when you're executive producer.
That's what he said to you?
Yeah.
First thing that
little Danny Bernstein.
First thing that Dan ever said to me when he saw my Rockaware leather coat, and he was like, "That is like a $750 coat. Do you sell drugs?"
And we might as well just tell it all now. Let's also go that he thought that Chris Tannehill was black because Chris likes hip hop.
Make me a bicycle clown.
All those things that happened on the show yesterday are 100% true and verified. My name is Lawrence Holmes. It is the house party guest week here on my show. Why? Because no one else is here. So I thought that it'd be a lot easier for me to keep things clean and invite people to the house. So today, we've got a couple of great guests, but Herbie likes to press his luck and spin the wheel.
Guest week on the Lawrence Holmes Show continues now. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Stop!
That's because our first guest to kick off today's show, writes for Yahoo, is finally back home here in Chicago. I was going to talk a lot of baseball, and I plan to, but he's been writing everything lately. And there's a lot of fan bases that don't like him. Chris Swick is my guest for this hour. Everybody hates Chris. Is right. What's up, man?
Man, it's good to be back. It's good to be here. It's good to finally meet you in person.
And yeah, we're friends online, but have never met in person.
That's correct. Yeah, so this is exciting. And yeah, I've been a longtime listener. So to be here and to see you doing great stuff is really cool.
Well, I'm so happy that you're in the house, man. The world is your oyster. We can talk about whatever you want. But considering that you made your bones covering baseball, there's a lot of baseball stuff that I want to ask you about.
Sure.
Can we start with the two teams in Chicago?
Let's do it.
Are White Sox fans justified in their excitement for the 2020 season?
I think so. For a lot of reasons. First off, being basically all the prospects that they've been sold for years are finally going to be up this year, the main guys. The core of guys that have been up for a couple years, we kind of saw them come together last season in Lucas Giolito, Tim Anderson. You're starting to see what could be a really strong core. I think we're going to get a lot of that this year. And on top of that, I feel like, you know me, I'm a stats nerd guy, so the baseball prospectus projections, I thought were pretty optimistic for the White Sox. I think they had them at 83 wins. And that, to me, considering where they've been the last few years, that was a reason for White Sox fans to be excited. If they see that much improvement, I feel like that's only good things to come for them.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. Trying to figure out how excited to be when it comes to win totals is where I'm struggling. They were a little bit better last year. You saw guys improve. You saw Moncada get MVP votes. He was a 5-WAR player last year. You saw Tim Anderson win a batting title for whatever that's worth. I look at the additions that they made and you go, okay, can they win the division? And then you're like, the Twins won 103 games last year. Trying to, didn't the Indians win 95 or whatever it was? Trying to make up that ground. And I know it's not you're just doing Lego blocks and obviously like you have to jump over them. But I feel like that's a lot of games that they have to make up to be in real contention
for sure
for the American League Central.
Yeah, I think if on the Indian side, you look at them and I almost feel like they have to get off to a good start. Because if they're 500 by the deadline, I'm concerned that Lindor's gone, that they're selling off parts wherever they can. I think the Twins are the bigger issue. And if you're going to have optimism about the White Sox chances, you have to look at everything that went right for the Twins last year, which was everything. Like their entire lineup had career years. They got a tremendous season out of Jake Odorizzi, who has been kind of middling in the past. So I think you're hoping on some regression there. And then obviously you need the prospects to perform on the White Sox side. And you need some other guy to be just a little better than you think or that the projections think to emerge. But even then, in my mind, like the best case scenario for the White Sox is maybe 90 wins. And then they sneak in because the Cleveland Indians traded away everybody and the Twins just regressed that much. I mean, 2 years ago, they only won, what, the Twins 70-something games? So it's certainly possible.
Yeah, it's definitely something that could happen. And just whenever things are going really well for the White Sox, I get concerned.
That's fair.
Because as a White Sox fan, you're like, oh, well, the anvil's going to drop on my head any minute now. I can see it. So they made a move to sign Luis Robert to an extension. He's going to be on the major league roster. He's going to be seemingly their everyday center fielder. When a player makes a jump like that, what's fair to expect from them? Oh, I don't like that hesitation that you just threw at me, Chris.
I think with him specifically, people see the tools and they're really impressed by the tools. And that always screams to me that there's going to be an adjustment period. I think, and we saw it with Eloy a little bit last year where he was waving at a ton of sliders early, and that was something that he had to get used to. So I feel like it's going to be a similar type of adjustment for Robert. With that said, I know, again, the projections, like the baseball prospectus ones have him as like the 26th best player in the majors this year. And I think a lot of that's based on defense, but I know some of the people who've worked on those and they've tried to adjust for that and tell the system, take it easy on this guy. He's never played in the majors and their projection system will not do it. So it expects huge things from Luis Robert in his first season.
So that's one of my issues. Before you walked in, I was having a conversation with Dan and Connor about this, that you have two guys who his left and his right that cannot play defense.
Right.
And yes, he is fun to watch. I saw him play a couple games down in Birmingham last year. The kid can go get it. He can go get it. But you're asking him to take a step up in class. You're asking him to learn all these new ballparks. And you're asking him to cover both alleys because the other two guys can't do it.
Right.
I think that's asking a lot of a guy that's making his debut.
For sure. Yeah. And just the fact that he's not going to have the Eloy 3 weeks in the minors. Like they're expecting him opening day. There's going to be that pressure as well. He's likely going to hit in a pretty good spot in the order if he performs like everybody expects. So I think pressure is going to be at an all-time high. Expectations are going to be at an all-time high. And it's tough to expect a guy to fully live up to that, especially when, like we've said, he's never played in the majors. So, yeah, I have some concerns early. But I think ultimately he will be the type of player that everybody thinks he's going to be.
The voice you're hearing is that of Chris Swick. He writes for Yahoo. He covers baseball for them. He's done it for a really, really long time. He also covers other stuff, which we will get to. More White Sox questions for you.
Yep.
We are going to have an interrogation your thoughts on the Chicago White Sox this year. What was, in your opinion, the best signing or addition that the White Sox made?
It's easily Yasmani Grandal. I think he is somehow still underrated, even though he signed what was an $80 million contract. I just don't think he gets the credit he deserves, especially defensively. He's a great framer. He's regarded very well defensively. And I think you can look at it a couple ways, right? It's that the franchise finally gave out a pretty decent size contract. So that says something to everyone in the organization and other free agents that, oh, the White Sox are finally ready to do something. And then I think you look at what Grandal does to the team, specifically working with young pitchers, prospect pitchers. I feel like he is going to be an invaluable part of them moving forward, and not just this year, but the next four. And to have a catcher who is actually good, like, that's not a commodity around the majors right now. So I think right there, those are the three big reasons I think he is far and away their best signing.
If you were talking about concerns for the upcoming season, what scares you about the 2020 White Sox?
I think it's obviously the over-reliance on prospects. So expecting Robert to hit like an all-star immediately, expecting Madrigal to be something awesome when he comes up. He's a really contentious guy among scouts and the stat community.
I'm right there. I'm not a believer. I'm not a believer in Slappy Madrigal is what I'm calling it.
I think that when I look at
Slappy,
everything he does, I get concerned as well, because the slugging has never been there.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the AAA ball last year, which was as juiced as the majors ball, he didn't hit a lot of home runs. So I have some concerns with him. I think you're also depending on Giolito being the exact same guy, proving that he can do it for 200 innings. I am a lot more optimistic there, but it's still a concern. He was the worst pitcher in the majors 2 years ago. So I just think that there's certainly a lot that could go wrong.
Okay, that's fair. Let's talk about the baseball for a minute. You brought it up. Which do you think the Major League Baseball wants, the baseball that we saw last year, or do they want the baseball that we saw in the playoffs last year?
I think they want the baseball we saw in the playoffs. I think they want the baseball to not be a story anymore. And so for that to happen, you're going to need to see the home run rate fall to less historic levels. So I guess based on nothing at all, I'm expecting the baseball to return to where it was pre-2019. So fewer home runs. I always get it confused between more and less drag on the ball, because
Drag?
That's out of my expertise. But I think more drag, more drag on the ball, which means some of those cheap home runs are going to be falling a little short this year.
What teams do you think that would affect the most in the majors?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well,
Say the Twins.
What teams? I mean, you could look at the Twins as, you know, just that all their offensive guys had kind of best case scenario projections, but then you look at Miguel Sano, and he's going to hit towering bombs
with any
baseball. I think I've thought less about teams and more specifically about players that would be impacted. So a guy I'd worry about is Ketel Marte from the Diamondbacks, who his power kind of came out of nowhere last year. He suddenly hit 30 bombs. I mean, you could say that for, I don't know, 50, 60 guys who suddenly just became 30 home run hitters overnight. I think you can say a little bit of that for Francisco Lindor. Although I think he hit for a fair amount of power in 2018, but even then it wasn't really part of his toolbox coming up. So I guess I just wonder if he'll settle in as more of a 25 home run guy moving forward.
Back to the White Sox real quick. What do you think of Ricky Renteria managerially?
I'm excited to see what he does with a team that has expectations, I guess. I'm skeptical, I would say, but he hasn't been given much to work with over the last couple of years. So
true.
I think if there are fans out there who wanted to make a case that they should have gone after one of these veteran managers who are out there, I certainly see that point. And I think a guy like Dusty Baker or Joe Girardi is you would have to say at this point, a much better manager than Rick Renteria. So in that sense, I guess I have judged him a little bit, but also maybe things change this year where he finally has the pieces in place and he starts to show that he can do this and he can have them in contention and not make, you know, boneheaded moves that knock them out of a key playoff race or game or anything like that.
Chris Swig of Yahoo is here. He covers baseball and other things. Let's flip over to the north side. We're the home of the Cubs here on The Score. I'm actually a little bit more bullish on the 2020 Cubs than I was expecting to be after the not re-signing of Joe Madden right. and no activity in free agency. And part of it is Kyle Schwarber had such a great second half of the season that I often forget that he's part of that group of players. When we talk about Baez, Rizzo, Bryant, Contreras, we should also probably put Schwarber in there if he can play at that pace more regularly. Is there a reason to be bullish about the 2020 Cubs?
Sure. I'm not fully there.
Why not?
I worry about the rotation specifically. It's just... So a guy like Kyle Hendricks, just a total anomaly. You never really know when it's going to fall off. I feel like
he doesn't have the velo.
Exactly. And so I think it could come and go for him at any minute. I think John Lester, we've already seen decline. Yu Darvish is weirdly the one guy I'm confident about. And that was not something I would have said last year at this time. But yeah, other than that, I worry that it's a rotation that has a pretty significant downside and they didn't add anywhere else. So they could have similar bullpen issues again. I think there is some concern about Chris Bryant from a nerdy stat perspective that his exit velocity and stuff like that didn't match where his batting average was. So he could see some decline there. That one I'm a little more hesitant on because I really like Chris Bryant as a player and I think he is a superstar. But it is out there and it's something that I've considered as I've looked at what the season's going to look like. And also in my fantasy preparation, because that's, you know, that's the biggest thing. I have to do well in fantasy baseball.
What have you thought about how this offseason has gone between Bryant and the Cubs?
I think it's probably gone well in that there has been very little drama. I think Bryant he's a passionate guy when it comes to player rights. And the fact that he hasn't been super public about that is probably a good thing for the Cubs. Cause I think Bryant knows what happened. I think everybody knows what happened a few years ago when they kept him down. They wanted to manipulate his service time. He clearly was ready. He was a dominant force from day one. And so to lose that grievance, I have to imagine he's probably frustrated about that. And maybe it's more with the league and not with the Cubs. And that's why there hasn't been that drama. So unless he suddenly starts expressing how mad he is with the team specifically, I'm cautiously optimistic that things will be fine between both sides this year.
Do you like him as leadoff guy?
Sure. Why not? I think I like a guy who takes walks in the leadoff role. I'm not stuck in the your leadoff man has to steal. So I'd be for that. I'd be for Anthony Rizzo going back up to the leadoff spot. I like really either choice.
Are you buying the Reds?
Kind of.
Why?
Again, the projections like them. And so that I liked their offseason a lot. I liked bringing in Nick Castellanos. I thought he was a really nice addition for them. And so to see some of the moves they made and then see the projections like them as well, that kind of raised my interest in them. I don't know if I would pick them to win the Central, but I don't think it's absurd to think that they'll be in contention throughout the season. I like what they've been able to do. I think their rotation is surprisingly good. They turned Sonny Gray around. Trevor Bauer is always going to be a question, but their pitching coach is Derek Johnson, and he is really well-regarded among some of these new-age pitching gurus. So I think if anyone's going to get the best out of Bauer and some of the other questionable guys, it's going to be him. So, yeah, I feel pretty confident that that they'll be in contention throughout most of the season.
There's been some rookie managers that have had success. They've jumped in and they've had no managerial experience and they've done fine. What's fair to expect, considering that there have been managers who've had success,